You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right. Well, everybody ready this morning?
Yes.
Are you really ready?
Yes.
Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew 1. We'll start there, see where we wind up. Now, you say this all the time, we'll jump off that diving board and pray there's water in a pool. But I have some thoughts and some things I want to share and like to go with that. And here it is, the Christmas season. And, you know, I talked a little bit about Christmas a while ago. And, you know, we it gets so commercialized. And, you know, you don't want to be a Scrooge or a ball of humbug, because I think we ought to celebrate. I'm not one of those that think we shouldn't, you know, celebrate and put decorations up and give gifts. And I think we ought to do that. I think it's a wonderful time to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but not mistake, though, and get mixed up in the celebration and forget what it's all about.
Yeah.
And so it's a wonderful time of year for us as Christians, as believers, to make our stand, to stand up. The world takes note, you know, and it is Merry Christmas. It's not Happy Holidays. And I mean, can you imagine somebody saying Happy Holidays on Martin Luther King Day? Or Happy Holidays on the 4th of July? Or Happy Holidays on Halloween? Or Happy Holidays on Thanksgiving? Seem like this is the only time of year that we don't name the holiday. We have to say Happy Holidays. And you would never say that at Thanksgiving, or you wouldn't say that at any other holiday. So it's like a move to push out Christ. Are you with me? And boy, this is what it's all about. Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
You know? And it's you know, we thank God for the gift giving. I think that's wonderful. We should do that. We do that in honor of Jesus. And they brought gifts to Jesus, and God gave the gift of His Son. And, you know, we think about giving this time of year sometimes to our hurt. We ought to, you know, pay attention to your credit cards. Don't go in debt. I'm trying to make a point here. You know, you can tell someone about Jesus, it doesn't cost you anything. That's a gift that keeps on giving. Anyway, I've thought about that, how that's a good thing to give, but we're not really duplicating what God did. What God did never could be duplicated, and what He gave never could be given. And what He gave, you'd never come close to ever having that or giving that to anyone. He gave us a Savior. It's the best Christmas ever.
Yes.
It was 2,000 years ago. And it's still on.
Yes.
Christmas is still on. It's been going on every day. You know, all around the world, there's people, when they accept Jesus, they're just experiencing their first Christmas.
That's right.
Whether it's in the middle of July or whether it's, you know, December 25th, which Jesus most likely wasn't born that day, and it's not that big a deal. Doesn't matter. The fact is, we do celebrate a day where He was born.
Yeah.
Most likely He was born at the end of harvest. That's when they taxed everybody, you know, when they all brought their money and brought their harvest in. And the shepherds were out in the field. They weren't freezing, you know, around a fire. They were out in the field. So everything points toward generally the end of harvest, probably sometime September, you know, that He was born. But that's not the point. The point's not that we know the exact day. The point is we celebrate the fact that He was born.
Amen. Yes. Yes.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
And He was. Amen. So turn with me, if you will, Matthew 1. Told you to turn there. I just want to just talk about one point, really. I don't have a lot of points. You know, some sermons are 7 points and 10 points. A lot of preachers have these 5 points, 15 points to this, and I've got 5 things I want to say about that first point. You know, usually I just have 1 point, but that's good because I have a point. And a lot of times preachers don't even have a point. I don't know what the point is. But the point of Christmas is we have a Savior. Amen. And this is what the angel said. In fact, in Matthew, the first chapter, notice the 18th verse says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows," on this wise King James Version says, I'm reading New King James. "The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed or espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost," Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, somebody.
Hallelujah.
And boy, that's a whole teaching in and of itself, that Jesus' Father was God. Jesus was God before He became a man. And He had no father in this earth. He who had no mother in heaven had no father in earth. And so He came through a woman, but He didn't come through a man. His Father was God. Thus, being He was born sinless. Thus, He was able to give His life for your sins and mine. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He took on Himself flesh and blood. He became a man like us, but He didn't take on our sin. He came holy and sinless because He was born of the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary. Then Joseph, 19th verse, her husband being a just man. Everybody say just man.
Just.
Very significant. These are the parents that Jesus, that God Himself chose to raise Jesus. Joseph being a just man, not willing or wanting to make her a public example, because now she is with child. And as far as the world's concerned, this has never happened before supernaturally like it did this day 2,000 years ago. The law is very plain that you stone a woman like that. Remember, they brought that woman caught in the act of adultery in the 8th chapter of John and threw her down at Jesus' feet and said, "The law says stone her. What do you say?" Remember that? Well, so in his mind, there's no other way she could be with child without knowing another man. But he wasn't of the persuasion that we ought to condemn and kill, and that the law is here to hurt and separate, that God's more than holy. God is also love. Are you with me? God is holy, I agree. And I think sin is bad, I agree. But it says he was a just man. Man, that's wild, isn't it? He was a just man and not willing to make a public example of her, but was minded to put her away secretly, privately. But while he thought about these things, 20th verse, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Man, what a message. Jesus came to save us from our sins. Now, it wasn't Buddha born there 2,000 years ago. It wasn't Muhammad born 2,000 years ago. It wasn't a prophet. Wasn't just a priest, wasn't a great teacher, wasn't another example, another guide, another leader, start of a new movement. No, we didn't need another leader. We didn't need another guide. We didn't need another example. We didn't need another teacher. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins.
Amen. That's good.
And Jesus came to save us. That's what He came for. Christmas is not about a good person. It's not about a little child in the manger. It starts there, yes, no question. But that manger, that was the Master in the manger. That was the Creator in the crib. That was a Savior. And He came to save us. And we celebrate. We don't celebrate just a child. You know, we often do that. Sometimes we get wrapped up in the moment. And that's good. We celebrate. I have nativity scenes, you know, and around our house. And happy birthday Jesus on the walls. And, you know, and we do that. And I think it's wonderful because this did take place. This did happen. This is a point of time in history. It's a fact that Jesus was born 2,000 years ago in the city of Bethlehem. We know this. We know this is a fact. But we're not worshiping a child in a manger. We're not worshiping that little baby. We're not even worshiping a sinless man who walked this earth. And he was sinless and he did walk this earth. We're not even worshiping a great teacher. And he was the greatest teacher it ever has been or ever will be. We're not even worshiping the greatest prophet that ever existed. And he was that. We're not even worshiping just a messenger. We're worshiping the Son of the living God who died for our sins, who arose from the dead, conquered hell, death, and the grave, and got the keys of hell and death. We're worshiping a warrior, a conqueror, a leader, a captain of our salvation. We're worshiping the one who saved us from our sins. I do not have to go to hell, and neither do you. You can go to heaven. You can miss hell. Because of Christmas. Because of Christmas. I love that. You know, and I say that year by year, but it just takes on such meaning to me when you say Merry Christmas. Man, that means something. We're not just saying, "Hello, how are you?" You know, Merry Christmas. You got a Savior. Biggest Christmas gift ever was, ever will be. God gave it to us. Well, here the angel of the Lord told Joseph, "We'll call his name Jesus." Jesus is just a form of the Hebrew word Joshua, which just means deliverer or Savior. So when we say Jesus, that's what we're saying, a Savior, a Savior. And the reason he called him Jesus is because he would save his people from their sins. Hallelujah.
That's right.
You know, I think about that and You could just teach on that, and I have before, that we're not just saved from the penalty of our sins. We're not just saved from the sentence that comes with sin. The wages of sin is death. We're not just saved from the penalty of our sins. We're saved from our sins.
That's right.
That he actually wants to deliver us from our sins. You don't have to keep sinning. You don't have to keep that addiction. You don't have to keep that. Now, I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. We're always working on things. But God came not just to deliver us from the penalty of our sins. He came to save us from our sins.
That's right.
So quit hollering at your wife and asking her to forgive you. That went over real big. God does forgive. But He saved us from our sins. You need to quit doing that. And He'll help you quit doing it. Amen. And if you've been in drug addictions, whatever the case may be, He didn't just come to save you from the penalty of it. He came to save you from it.
Amen.
If you have a tendency to be angry, you have a tendency to be skeptical and gossip, well, that's a good one. God forgives. Of course He forgives. We understand that. But He saved us from that sin. Now you're going to have to work on it and believe God and trust God and repent and so on. But you know what? You can quit it. I love that. I've been saved from my sins. It's Christmas!
Amen.
I've been saved from my sins. Turn over to Luke. Luke, second chapter. Now that's, of course, Matthew's account. And you know, Luke's accounts were the shepherds come on the scene. You know, Matthew's the account of the wise men from the east, the magi that come from the east. We don't know how many there were. You know, tradition tells us three, and often we'll say they're kings, but it doesn't say they were kings. It doesn't say there were three. It just says they're wise men that came from the east. It probably was a large company of people, enough to cause a stir in Jerusalem, because it came to Herod's attention, and it says it caused a stir in the city. So they had probably an entourage of people, probably servants and camels, and you know, they traveled a long ways. They saw a star in the east and they followed it and came into Jerusalem. Didn't know exactly where he was going to be born, so they stopped in Jerusalem, asked the king. King Herod asked the scribes and the religious priests of that time. They knew exactly where Jesus was supposed to be born. They were looking for a Messiah. They said in Micah 5:2, it says, "In Bethlehem of Judea shall come forth a ruler of my people, who shall judge my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting to everlasting." And they told him, they said, in Bethlehem is where he's going to be born. Go and find the child, and once you've worshipped him, come and tell me so I can come worship him. That's what Herod said. We know he was being deceptive and lying because he wanted to kill him. He didn't want the competition. But it's fascinating. They knew exactly where he was going to be born. It was in the scripture. It was written by the prophet, Micah, in Micah 5:2. So they came in, and that account of the wise men is in Matthew, but the account of the shepherds over here in Luke, which is, I thought, was also significant. Jesus is Lord from the lowest to the highest. Amen. Whether a lowly shepherd or whether a wise man with all these riches, he's still Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all. And the wise men still do seek him. You know, I was reading the other day there about the wise men. It says, once they came to Jesus and they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh, three gifts. That's where they get the idea that there were three of them. It just says three gifts. We don't know how much there was of each and how many people gave it. But it says they were warned by God in a dream to depart another way because Herod wasn't being truthful, was being lying and deceptive about it, and he wanted to actually kill Jesus. And they were warned of God to depart another way. And I was reading that and read something the other day I thought was so good, that no one who ever comes to Jesus and worships Him ever goes back the same way they came.
Yeah.
Isn't that good? You will always leave differently than you came.
That's right.
When you get to Jesus.
Right.
You will never go back the same way you came.
Yeah. That's good.
If you come to worship Him, that is. You always go back differently. But in Luke, here's the account of the shepherds. Y'all seen Charlie Brown Christmas, haven't you?
Yeah.
I wish I had my blanket. Like Linus, and tell this story like it really should be told. But in Luke, there's this reoccurring theme here that we're ministering on, the point I'm making here. Starts out and it says, after Jesus was born, 8th verse. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." I love that. That's a theme you see through the Bible over and over also, is God doesn't want us to fear or be afraid of Him. We fear Him in respect and awe and reverence, but we don't fear Him in the sense of East Texas scared, you know, of Him. We honor, we reverence, we stand in awe of Him, but not like just afraid. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." I love that. See, Christmas is good news. It's great news.
Amen.
It's sad that this time of year there's a lot of depression that spread around. I think people go into Christmas with unreal expectations, and you know, and just kind of dreams about their family, and you know, and they get together, and families aren't perfect. Are you with me? Wish they were, but you know, sometimes things happen, arguments break out, and sometimes people come from broken homes, and sometimes you're just trying to patch things up and do the best you can, and I hope you came from a good home. I hope you did, and I hope you have a great time at Christmas. But Christmas is not just about eating turkey around the table with the friends and family. If that's your expectation, sometimes you'll be let down. Sometimes your white Christmas will turn blue. Hello. You know, Christmas is about great joy. It's about a Savior. It's about our sins being forgiven. It's about a time and place where God came and visited us and paid the price for our sins and took our sins. Hallelujah. And it says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." See, that's the message of Christmas, is that we have a Savior. And He is Christ the Lord. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Never going to top that gift. Never going to outgive that gift. That's the gift that just keeps on giving. That's a gift that's eternal. And it makes all the difference in the world when you have that gift and you celebrate Christmas. In fact, I'd submit to you that you've never really celebrated a real Christmas and never had a real Christmas until you've received the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. Amen. You know, I often talk about Fred. Fred's a neighbor of mine, Fred and Karen. We've known them for years. We've been the same place for 27 years, and they were there before us. And I would run into Fred every once in a while on the road before he accepted Jesus, before he had his first Christmas. And Fred didn't talk the same way then that he does now. Hello. But, I mean, he was nice. I mean, you know, and I'd talk to him, and it would just singe my hair. You know, I mean, he just didn't know the Lord. I mean, he's lost. And this is years ago, you know. And Fred and Karen, well, you know, Karen had been saved. Fred got saved, and Karen rededicated her life. And I remember Fred called me. God, I get so hardest time sharing this. He called me Christmas Eve, I guess it was, his first Christmas Eve that he was saved, that he knew Jesus. And he called me on the phone, and he was telling me how wonderful it was and how he'd shared the Christmas story with his children and his family. I think your brother was there, is that right? Had the whole family there. And he was just preaching to them. He was just sharing about Christmas. And he was so excited. He says, "I am really celebrating my first Christmas." And I thought, man, how many years ago was that? Goodness, that was 17 years ago. And I thought, man, that's what Christmas is about right there.
Amen.
Got a Savior.
Yeah.
See, all that time, that Christmas, that gift had been sitting under that tree, and Fred didn't get it till 17 years ago. No telling how much dust was on that present sitting there all that time. God had it for him. It was already wrapped up. It was already sitting there. And every year, Fred just go right by and never pick it up. But about 17 years ago, he unwrapped that thing.
Lord.
He accepted Jesus. And it changed his life and his whole family. Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
See, unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Man, that's what it's all about. You know what? If I never had a tree, if I never had a gift, I already got my Christmas. If the turkey wasn't just right, then I think we're having egg rolls this Christmas. Anyway. If the fruitcake is not just right, you know, at least you can use it to hammer nails with or something. I don't know. If I didn't get just what I wanted in that print, you know, I don't even know. You get my age, you don't care. You know, people ask, what do you want? I got everything. I'm fine, you know. Of course, that's the last thing they want to hear. They want to know what to get you. Well, you know, I tell you what, I like Starbucks. That's, you know, no, I'm doing fine there. But I've got my Christmas gift. Amen?
Yes,
I've got mine. You got yours. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You got reason to rejoice. And hey, by all means, go give gifts. And I'm not against. I'm for that. Goodness. We've got a Christmas tree. We've got stuff piled around ours. Goodness, you know, 15 grandchildren after tomorrow. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell them all the Christmas story and give them a gift of salvation. It's less expensive, and it's much better for them. Yeah. Hey, turn to John. John 4 chapter. We looked at Matthew. We looked at Luke. I mean, you see these guys all saying the same thing by the Spirit of God. These are men that were anointed and by God to write these things down, the Bible, the New Testament that we have. The account of Jesus and the teachings of Paul and Peter and James, and you know, this is a holy book. This is God speaking to us. Amen. And they weren't confused. They were very, very in unity and agreement on what this thing's all about. You know, this woman with the issue, woman at the well. Excuse me. Remember the woman at the well that Jesus ministered to, and she came in the middle of the day when nobody was there. Because she was living with a man and she'd had five husbands and embarrassed to come in the morning with the rest of the crew. She'd come, you know, in the middle of the day. And there's Jesus, and you know, asking her to dip him some water. And he told her, he said, I got water. If you drank of it, you'd never thirst again. You know, and she said, Lord, you don't even have a bucket. You know, that's what she said. She's thinking of natural. You know, that's what we think. All of our answers are in the natural. No, they're not. They're not. We need Jesus. We have spiritual problems and we need spiritual answers. And Jesus said, if you drink this, you'll thirst again, this water, but you'll never thirst again if you drink the water that I offer. And then he began to reveal to her whole life, you know. She asked some spiritual questions about where to worship, and he explained it. And he said to her that, you know, you've had five husbands. And he told her that by the Spirit of God. You have five husbands, and the one you live with now is not your husband. Well, she repented. She got right with God and got saved, basically in that terminology. She wasn't able to be born again yet because Jesus hadn't risen from the dead. But she put her faith in him, went back and told the whole town. And man, they came out to see Jesus. And it says here in the fourth chapter, this is Samaria, the woman of Samaria. It says in the 39th verse of the fourth chapter, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman, who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. He stayed 2 more days preaching to him, ministering to him. 42nd verse. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that he is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Man, isn't that awesome? That's what Jesus is. That's why he came. That's what Christmas is about. It's about a Savior. You know, in Matthew, he came to save us from our sins. In Luke, you know, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. Here's John talking about it, and the people of Samaria recognize that Jesus was the Savior. Now turn over to Acts, the book of Acts. Acts, the 13th chapter. I know we're Bible drills. We're going through scriptures here. You know, you need to know where the thing is. You know, you need to be able to tag it and not just repeat your pastor. God forbid you be at the mercy of my intellect. You need something a little more strong, solid than that. You need to know where it is in the scripture. Do you know what you believe? Do you know why you believe? That's why I'm always telling you, look at this and read this. And, you know, if you have notes, write it down. And Because it doesn't matter what I think, and it doesn't matter what you think. It matters what God says, that's all. And if we can't back this up over and over, consistently, repetitively, I mean, you can take one verse, but if you see it over and over and over and over, now you got a good doctrine, amen? You got something that was said over and over and over. Matthew said He saved us from our sin. Luke said He was the Savior of the world. John said He was the Lord Christ, the Savior. Over and over, he says that. In Paul's writings, he said the same thing. In fact, Paul's preaching here in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. He's preaching in Antioch, not Antioch straight up north from Jerusalem, but Antioch of Pisidia, which was over in Galatia, the region of Turkey, present-day Turkey. There were two big cities called Antioch. And he was preaching, doing missionary work here, as it were. And as he began to minister to them, he, of course, talked to them about Jesus being the descendant of David. He's talking to the Jews. Now think about this. Jesus was the fulfillment of Judaism. He didn't come to destroy Judaism or destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law.
Amen.
In fact, He came to fulfill all the Old Testament. Jesus is not against the Old Testament. Jesus is the personification and the living embodiment of the Old Testament. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. In fact, all the Old Testament talked of Him and prophesied of Him and told us where He'd be born and told us how He'd be born and told us what would happen when He was born with the death of those children that Herod killed. Jeremiah prophesied of that. He told about what He'd preach when He came and what He'd do when He came. He'd heal the sick and cast out. It said He would do all that. It tells us how He would die and how He'd be betrayed and how much the betrayer would be paid. That's all in the Scripture. It's all in the Old Testament. Over 300 Scriptures that prophesy about Jesus. So when Jesus comes along, He is the fulfillment of Scripture. He is the Word made flesh dwelling among us, and we beheld His glory. Oh, they all prophesied and talked about His coming, but when He showed up, He is the message. They brought a message. He is the message.
Yes, good.
Amen?
Amen?
Well, Jeremiah talked about Him. Ezekiel talked about Him. Moses talked about Him. Joshua talked about Him. Isaiah talked about Him. David prophesied about Him. They all talked about Him, but when He came along, basically He's saying, and He said this on many occasions, you know, that He was the fulfillment of this. In fact, He read out of Isaiah 61 there in Luke, the 4th chapter, when He started His ministry. He read all that. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and heal the brokenhearted and cover sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, and, you know, to comfort them that mourn." He goes on and He says, "This day, this Scripture is fulfilled in your ears." In other words, I am that man. He fulfilled Scripture. He came for that intent and purpose. And so Paul is preaching to these Jews at this city of Antioch. He's talking to Jews and explaining to them from the Scripture, the Old Testament, how Jesus was this Messiah. That He was of the seed of David. Mary lineage came through David. And he says here in the 13th chapter, you still with me?
Yes.
Acts 13. You're tracking with me. Okay. I know I'm jumping a lot of scriptures here. I'm trying to get in context. It says here, it talked about how Saul was king and then he was removed. The 22nd verse, 13th chapter. And when God had removed him, Saul, He raised up for them David as king, to whom also He gave testimony, saying, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. From this man's seed, David's seed, according to the promise, God raised up for Israel a Savior, Jesus." I just love that. It's just so simple and so concise and succinct and it sums it all up. It's the gospel in a nutshell, that God has raised us up a Savior.
Amen.
Merry Christmas. We have a Savior. We've been saved from our sins. Hallelujah. And all around the world they celebrate it. You know, and all kinds of churches all around the world. And there's a lot of great churches in our town, a lot of great churches in the world that are celebrating this. And a lot of people that name the name of Jesus, whether they're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostals, whether they're, you know, Catholic or Church of Christ or Lutheran. I'm going to miss some people, Episcopalian Church of England. On and on and on and on and on. If you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, it's not International Outreach Church. No, no. It's not First Baptist. No, no. It's not Assembly of God. Those names don't really mean anything other than places of gathering where we can meet and we can get together and we can grow together. But there's only one name that saves us and only one Savior, and His name is Jesus. And we're not saved because we go to International Outreach Church. We're not saved because we go to First Baptist. We're saved because we know Jesus is Lord and a Savior. Thank God for the Catholic Church. Thank God for churches that preach Jesus. But our common ground and common denominator here in what Christmas is about, it's not about all those churches. It's not about this one. It's not about all the denominations and all the different names and theologies we can come up with. It is about a man, God becoming a man, Emmanuel, God with us. It's about a Savior who saved us from our sins. And that makes us one. I love that. It makes us one with the Baptist and the Methodist and the Pentecostal and the Catholic, the Church of Christ, Lutheran, the Episcopalian, Church of England, on and on and on and on. If they know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, if they know that, well, you can pick your friends. You're stuck with your relatives. Amen? We're going to live forever because of what He did. This is good news which shall be to all people. That's what the angel said. Turn to Titus. See if I can get to this. Two more. Can I give you two more?
Sure.
And we're just looking through the scripture here. These are just Christmas thoughts. Having a little fireside chat, the International Outreach Church. Without the fire. Titus. And there again, this is Paul. Now see, we saw over here where Matthew recorded what the angel said, and then what Luke recorded the angel said, and then what John recorded the Samaritan said, and then what Paul said to the Jews. You know, they seem to all be saying the same thing. Can't you tell? Get the common theme here. Jesus is the Savior. And here's Paul. He's talking to Titus. Titus was a pastor along with Timothy. Timothy was also a pastor. First and Second Timothy are. It's interesting. Paul talks quite a bit about churches and how churches should operate and set up and so on. And he writes to the pastor, the leader of that church. His name was Timothy. Now he writes to Titus. And he gives Titus some information about deacons and elders and different things and about churches and how they should operate, what you should preach. Preach the word. Amen. He tells Titus the same things. Because Titus is the leader. He's the spiritual leader there. He's the pastor. And so he's talking to Titus. And he says here in the 2nd chapter in the 11th verse, he said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Hallelujah. Amen. This is what we're celebrating. That's what Paul, can you imagine in that day, that age, he's living in the age where it happened.
Yes.
And he says, man, salvation has appeared to all men. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Well, appeared how? Appeared in Jesus is what he's saying. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever else He is, and He's definitely more complex than you could ever dream or imagine. I mean, to understand God fully would be impossible for us as humans, mere mortals, as it were. But there are some things we do know. We know what He said. Amen? I'm not of that persuasion. You can't know anything about God because God gave us all kinds of information. But I'm sure not of the persuasion you know everything about God because you're just not that smart. And neither am I. Are you with me? But we do know what He said. And whatever else can be said, we know this, that He is our great God and He is our Savior. This I do know. Amen? There's a lot I don't know, but this I do know. And as Paul was telling Titus, that we look for the blessed hope. We look for the glorious appearing. Isn't it fascinating that when He appeared, salvation appeared. When He came, a Savior came. Great joy came. Good news. Great joy should be to all men. Unto us is born in the city of David a Savior. That shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Christ the Savior is what the Samaritan said. And then Paul goes on and says the same thing, that Jesus is our Savior of the seed of David. He came, He appeared, and salvation appeared. And you know what we look? We look for Him to come again. We're looking for our Savior to come. Thank God He is coming. Amen. Could be today, could be tonight. We don't know. We don't know when. We just live as if it could happen any day. Hallelujah. I think it'd just be a wonderful Christmas Eve. I'm not looking for somebody to come down my chimney. I'm looking for Jesus. And you want to know the truth? I know who's got the list, and I know who's checking it twice, and I know who knows who's naughty or nice. Okay. His name is Jesus. Okay. So it says here, it says, the 13th verse, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John, we'll close out with this one. This will help you. You'll love this. 1 John. Glory. Man, good stuff. Amen. 1 John. Hold on a minute. I'll tell you which chapter to turn to. There's only five, so you can take your shot while I'm looking. Yeah, I was in the wrong chapter. 1 John 4. Hey, don't miss this. This doesn't cost you anything, okay? You go out and you buy all kinds of gifts and you look at all kinds of sales paper and you hope somebody gives you this or doesn't give this, or maybe you're not even thinking about any of that. That's fine too. But don't miss this. This gift is free. This gift was given by God. This is something you need. This is something you do need. You need a Savior. I don't always know what I need, but I know this. I do need a Savior. Amen. And the thing is, it's free. He's offering Him free to me. His arms are extended. He's calling. If any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast him out. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Hallelujah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open up, I'll come in. See, He's pursuing us. He's on our trail. He's wooing us. He's calling. He's everywhere. He's wholesale, all around the place. But see, you've got to accept it. Your will is still your will. Your choice is still your choice. And you can still reject or you can still receive. And He is wanting us to receive and stop and unwrap the present. Amen? And receive it. John says this in 1 John 4, just to sum all this up. He says in the 14th verse, "And we have seen and we do testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world." That's why He came. You know, Muhammad taught some things and the Quran came out of that. Some good, some bad. Buddha taught some things and, you know, good philosophy. Good, you know, I mean, rub his belly and make a wish. If you're so inclined, you know. There have been a lot of great teachers and prophets and sayings, but that's not what we needed. We needed a Savior. Hey, I mean, there's a lot of good philosophy out there. You know, I'm a Christian. That doesn't mean I believe every other philosophy and every other religion is totally wrong all the way through. I think there's some truth in a lot of religion. There's some good truth and good teaching in what we would call cults. As far as family teaching, there's some good moral teaching. Plato had some great teaching on virtue and integrity and character. And, you know, I've read a lot of Plato. And Socrates is who he actually wrote about. Socrates didn't write anybody, anything himself. But, I mean, you go through the philosophers and you go through the religions. See, that's all well and good. I mean, there's some good examples to go by, good moral truths to go by. Confucius, you know, wrote some good things. The Tao is nothing really wrong with it as far as just morality and so on and so forth. But that's not what we needed. We needed a Savior. Woo! And the message of Christmas is the message of the Bible. That God has sent us a Savior. He says it real plain, 14th verse, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God." Wow. Man, Merry Christmas. Amen.